you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
I thought Caleb made some real strides in improvement on Sunday by just stepping up, trusting his protection, and going right into the pocket here and making one throw after another.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. You know, I'm ready to kick off week five tonight. Kind of got week four digested right now. So I'm in good shape. I'm happy to join you guys, right, and talk some Bears football.
Yeah, we're wondering, as you look at where the Bears are at, you know, they won a game against the Rams. The Rams came in kind of beaten up, and they did exactly what they had to do. Now they've got a Carolina team coming in that doesn't look like a very good football team. I know the Red Rifle was here briefly. He's going to be starting and Bryce Young is benched. But how much better does that make them? Is this a game the Bears should do well with?
Well, I mean, Andy Dalton's come in and he's been awesome. I mean, they've scored 60 points in the last two games. And really, they had chances to beat Cincinnati last week. About all of his receivers. I mean, there's no Adam Thielen anymore right now. But, I mean, the rookie Xavier Leggett's been good. And Deontay Johnson's playing his best football with them. I mean, they legitimately can run the football. The offensive line is good. This is a good offense with Andy Dalton. At least the last 2 weeks, they have been good. And anybody that would be overlooking this team, they haven't studied and watched them the last 2 weeks. They've been really, really good. And it feels like defensively now that they know that you know, that they can score and they can move the football. Defensively, they played a lot better, even without their best player, Derek Brown, who's out for the season. They're still playing really hard right now. And like I said, they had a chance to beat Cincinnati last week.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. So, Baldy, the Bears offensive line a little banged up. Tevin Jenkins has a rib injury, has not practiced. Matt Pryor slid in at left guard, Nate Davis on the right side. How much does this offensive line need a healthy Tevin Jenkins?
Well, I mean, I'm friends with Matt Pryor, so I'm a little biased. But I thought Matt Pryor played great. He went from right guard to left guard in the game. They ran the ball better than they run it all year last week. It was a big difference in the game. DeAndre Swift got loose. They went to their two tight end set with, you know, Mercedes Lewis and Cole Kmet and, from the very first play of the game. And they got some movement. And Nate Davis is a good run blocker. So do they miss Tevin Jenkins? Yeah, I think they miss his toughness and experience and all of that. Matt Pryor is far from a finished product, but he's probably the biggest human being in that entire organization right now. He's massive. And, you know, his size matters. Size does play a part in how he plays the game. He's not great, but I thought he, you know, to go from right guard to left guard like he did and for them to run the ball like they did, I think they could be just fine this week, just the same.
Yeah, Baldy, I think we look at the Bears and we see a team that plays good defense and can do some things on the defensive side of the football, and it's almost as if they have taught the quarterback, hey, don't try to make a big play, don't try to do too much, protect the ball and take a check down and live to play another game.
That probably has been preached, you know, from Shane Waldron and, and Eberflus. I'm sure it's being taught to him. And look, and I'm sure the defensive guys are going, hey, we got you, bro. You're a rookie. Like, you just, you know, you grow. Take your time. Throw the touchdown to DJ Moore when it's there, like you did last week. Good throw. But you don't have to win these games. You don't have to be the rookie of the year. Like we've got you covered. They've given up two passing touchdowns in 4 weeks. Any team in this league would take that. They're very good in the back end. Brisker was awesome last week. So I feel like that's kind of the formula right now. Now that they at least they made the effort in sustaining a run and they got Swift going, like they should build upon that this week. I mentioned you played a clip. I thought he played better from the pocket. They weren't big throws. You know, they're 6 yards, they're 8 yards. You know, they're throw down the seam to Komet. You know, I thought there was some improvement in Caleb's game from a discipline standpoint, from a timing standpoint. And it looked like it was good for the offense last week. Now you want to see him take that next step this week and continue that. You'd like to see them continue to run the ball like they did a week ago.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, the Bears defense has held the opponents under 21 points for the last 10 games dating back to last year. They're getting the takeaways and certainly can rush the passer. They have a hard time stopping the run. For the second week in a row, Kyren Williams did to the Bears defense what Jonathan Taylor did a week earlier, was able to find some room. What's your theory why the Bears struggle stopping the run?
Well, they've seen two of the best in the league. I mean, you know, Kyren Williams led the entire – I mean, I know that Christian McCaffrey led the league in rushing, but Kyren Williams led the league in rushing yards per game last year, over 100 yards a game. They made a run into the playoffs because of Kyren Williams. I know you guys probably watched him in Notre Dame, but he's a hell of a back. And Jonathan Taylor led the league in rushing 2 years ago. I mean, you look at some of the runs that those guys had. The Bears think they have them, and they don't have them. They're just that good. And so I don't want to say the Bears can't stop the run. I think they can. They have a plan. They play good run. You know, they have good run fits. These are just exceptional players. And so, like, Carolina has two good backs. Chuba Hubbard is a guy that's got great speed, is a Canadian. Sanders is a good back. They're not Kyren Williams, and they're not Jonathan Taylor. They're good backs, though, and the right guard is excellent for Carolina, Robert Hunt. They paid him a lot of money. That guy moves big bodies. I would think that they would play better against the run this week than against maybe two of the best runners in the whole league that they've seen the last 2 weeks.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He's joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. And we should let you know this segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit timbertech.com. Brian, the Bears flipped the field quite a bit last week with their punter, Torrey Thomas, and he was awarded the special teams player of the week in the NFL for how well he punted in that game. Now, they gave up a fourth-round pick for him, so you would think that he would be as good as he was, but sure enough, he was good. We've had this discussion on as to whether or not they are less likely to go for it on fourth down now because of his ability than maybe previously, although they're not necessarily a fourth down team.
Well, they've attempted 9 fourth downs in 4 games. I mean, that's probably above the league average right now. They've converted 7, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've had some success. I've talked to some coaches about this. In the analytics, I know a coach in this league that's won a Super Bowl in this league, and his decisions on fourth down analytics sometimes are made on Wednesdays. Like, I don't get that because, you know, you lose your right guard last week or your left guard last week, and you're switching guys up, and guys get hurt, and things happen during the game. I kind of like to put it in the coach's field bucket. Game day, you know, when is the right time? I mean, Soldier Field sometimes could be a slow track. It could be, you know, you don't know what the weather's going to be like. Like, I think sometimes that plays a role in it, how the quarterback is playing, how you're running the ball on your short yard situations. I mean, I think all those things play a role. But field position should be a big part of this Bears team and success. And I say this all the time, and it's a cliche, but it really is a fact. Like, you want to try to win two games a year because of your special teams. And you definitely don't want to lose two games a year because of your special teams. Last week, the Saints lost to Atlanta because they muffed a punt at the three-yard line.
Right.
There's no reason why the guy's fielding the ball at the three-yard line. He muffed it, and they recovered it in the end zone, and they scored one of their two touchdowns. It decided the game. Like, you don't want to lose games because of special teams. If this kid continues to make teams have to drive long fields, it's a big deal. And special teams gets overlooked a lot. But I thought last week that was a significant part of their success. Stafford, you can say the Rams are beat up and rookie center and first-year left guard and all that stuff is true. But they beat the 49ers last week, and they went down the field and scored the game-winning field goal. Like, that's still a super well-coached team. And that's a good win for the Bears last week against a team that's gritty with a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. That's a good win that they had a week ago.
As much as you study the Bears tape, can you help us understand what they're trying to do, or at least explain the usage of DJ Moore? Here's a guy that has not really been down the field as a threat, and I think he's very involved in the horizontal passing game. We're still waiting for the vertical passing game to take shape.
Yeah. He hasn't been featured much. I did score the touchdown last week. There seems to be a little disconnect between him and Caleb, just what route he's running on some of these option routes. Is it being converted? They missed on the sideline last week badly, or the week before. They missed badly in that game. The offense doesn't make much sense on third down sometimes. I mean, it looks like it's all one-on-one routes some weeks, and you're just waiting for a guy to win, and Caleb's under duress, and he's ready to throw it, and nobody's looking for the ball. I still think there's some real timing issues between Caleb and all the wide receivers and what they're trying to do on third down sometimes. And so it's something that it got better last week, but I think it's something that because they ran the ball and they stayed on schedule a lot better and they didn't have so many negative plays. But I think it's something that has to continue to evolve throughout the season right now.
Brian, we'll let you go. I'm just curious, does this division surprise you, the fact that the NFC North is right now, four games in, the best division in football?
They are what we thought the AFC North is going to be. It's the best division right now. Mm-hmm. And even last week, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay, I mean, Green Bay was dead in the water. Jordan Love, like, that guy can throw a football. I mean, he's going to keep you in every game. He got a minute a game last week. But Sam Darnold in that offense is real. We'll see what the Jets can do in London this week against him. But that's a very well-coached football team, a very talented football team. Detroit is very talented. You saw what Jared Goff did on Monday night and what that offense did. And so here's the Bears, you know, right now. And, like, it's tough. I mean, every one of these games to me is must-see TV, like it was last week in Green Bay. Like, that was a heck of a comeback by them. But this is a very talented division. And the coaching is great. And Sam Darnold, it's not a fluke. Like, he's playing great football with a very talented team around him.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah,
my pleasure, guys. Anyway, I'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. And Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo. Game day be delicious.
So Devontae Adams' story still is brewing, percolating. The latest twist is he's out because of a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so made up.
How convenient. How convenient is that? So the report is that he wants to go to the Jets. He's open to other teams. They have all but ruled out the Chiefs. We talked about that and how tantalizing that would be for Kansas City. But being their biggest rival, you don't expect the Raiders to acquiesce there, even if it could be a good offer. I look at the Steelers as a team that could emerge, as a team that needs a guy like Devontae Adams. And you could see the way that he would probably, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and who's going to be the quarterback. But Mike Tomlin could be a coach that gets a guy like Devontae Adams in line, maybe cuts through the diva act and is able to get the most out of him like you can, because he's a difference maker. He still has got that factor. He still has got that special. And wherever he goes, he's going to be influential in the playoff race, I think.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about the Steelers, this person that was in camp with them and covers the team and knows them, and says that whether he said it publicly or not, that Tomlin loves Justin Fields, really, really loves the guy, believes that he's going to be their starter this year, isn't waiting on Russ to come back, and believes that they can teach him whatever it is that he needs to know to be a good quarterback there in terms of throwing the football as well as running the ball. They
bodes well.
Could not be higher on him. Well, it means fourth-round pick.
But does that really surprise you? Because one thing about Justin Fields that you could never question about his time in Chicago, his makeup, his mentality, his football character. This is a guy that coaches love to coach because he's just a yes, sir, thank you. He does what is asked of him. He tries to do everything. But, well, the reason he's not a Bear is not because of anything related to that approach. It's just because the Bears felt like they had a better option, an alternative. I'm not surprised to hear that. It does also make me rethink whether or not Russell Wilson will start more games than him, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is. And they're not in a rush to make that happen.
Well, they've been good.
Yeah, they're
3-1 with Justin Fields as a starter. I'm surprised they lost to the Colts in Indianapolis.
I think they were too.
I don't think much about that Colts team, but they now have won two games that I didn't expect them to win.
Right. Including one against the Bears.
Yeah. I think that if the Steelers are serious about winning that division that really has come back to everybody. Look, nobody thought the Ravens would struggle this early. Look at the Bengals.
It's incredible.
They're a mystery.
They're not a mystery. They're a bad football team.
Well,
they made a terrible decision on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And frankly, if they had Joe Flacco starting for them as opposed to the disaster that's going on, they would be a lot better. And they did find him last year and they let him go. And that was a mistake in retrospect.
The Browns?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Browns are bad. The Bengals and the Ravens. So I think the Steelers see an opportunity there if they can finagle or figure out a way to get Davante Adams in Pittsburgh. Wow, that would be something else. And
your guy Cheetah, he said yesterday he's sticking in Miami.
I know, I saw that. They just need a quarterback.
So you know, people were wondering
how did I wasn't. How did
I don't
they
know about whether he would want to go back to the?
I didn't think that would make sense.
I think he's wild with regret.
That may be true.
I mean, just to
wouldn't
miss
you be
out
though?
On Super Bowls?
If the team you left that went out and won without you,
exactly,
you'd feel like you missed out on something.
They didn't just win; they won it all without him. Yeah, I think he's.
You mentioned Joe Flacco. Obviously, in Indy, there's a lot of conversation about Anthony Richardson's health.
Yes,
Joe Flacco's competence on the job. It's an amusing story for the second year in a row. If you're a Miami Dolphin fan, aren't you wondering why the heck they weren't in on Joe Flacco in the offseason? As a veteran backup with insurance, you had Tua with the concussion history. You had all those weapons. You had a team that was thinking AFC East title, one hit away from everything falling apart, and now everything is falling apart because you don't have a backup quarterback.
All right, we got to get to a break. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Listen, when we started this series, everybody said we weren't playoff tested. We just passed the biggest test of the year to date, but there's more coming, okay? Never know. Get it going.
Listen,
I'm not sure who, but somebody let the Tigers get hot.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of A.J. Hinch. He was the White Sox manager for that one day.
That one day? Time. That one
almost,
press release?
Almost.
The near White Sox manager.
For almost that press release, and maybe even on Rick Hahn's face during that conference.
Maybe so. I'm sure that A.J. Hinch, the would-be White Sox manager, had a very nice long hug with Jason Benetti, the one-time White Sox announcer, and they enjoyed the heck out of the Tigers beating the Astros, eliminating them from the American League playoffs in a way that nobody really expected. Mully, I need to repeat this. It bears repeating because we last talked about it about 5:30 a while ago. Tigers became the fourth team to win a playoff series after being 10 or more games back, at least 110 games into the season. So you remember when they were spent that week in Chicago, back when they honored Javi Baez in August Wrigley Field? Remember that one week?
One time.
The Tigers were left for dead, essentially, and then they got hot, as A.J. Hinch alluded to. The other three teams that made similar comebacks, the 2011 Cardinals, the 1969 Miracle Mets, the 1964 St. Louis Cardinals. All three of those teams won the World Series. So now, does that make you believe that the Tigers can win the World Series?
No. Am I letting you down that path?
No, that's okay. You got the Padres. I get it.
That would be unbelievable. It would be. If they could.
It would be.
But no.
What a story.
Yeah.
What a story. Their combined payroll of their 26-man playoff roster is $18.8 million. They just dispatched a team with a closer in Josh Hader who makes $19 million. That to me is incredible.
Yeah.
You talk about getting more out of less. A.J. Hinch, goodness sakes.
Pretty good. Again, the amount of money they're not paying people is pretty extraordinary, right?
Yes.
The amount of of capital they're saving on this team. And again, I love that idea that Hinch said that no one knows what their strengths are because they're kind of – and really, moreover, no one knows what their weaknesses are.
No one knows who they are.
Well, that's the beauty of it.
That is the beauty of it. They're sneaking up on the league, and by the time they adjust to the adjustments, they'll be in the ALCS.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who
must be nice.
So now they have a tougher challenge, though. Although, Royals go Yankees. I think the Royals are in trouble. Tigers, Guardians, it's a divisional matchup. It could go either way. As hot as the Tigers are, it could go either way. What if the Tigers get to the ALCS?
What if the Royals win and you got two AL Central teams in the ALCS?
That would be really tough to take in Chicago.
Wouldn't it be impossible to take? Because as Dustin pointed out, the experience of being in the division with the White Sox allows you to have a better record than other teams and maybe sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah. There's part
it's
of
true.
That.
There's a level of that.
But the balanced schedule has changed how much you play the teams within your own division.
Nonetheless, if you look at how well they've done against the Sox.
They've feasted.
Yes.
They have feasted on White Sox carcass. That goes without saying. So, Detroit.
God.
They already have the Lions. They're rolling.
Yeah, they got
now
the
Now they
Lions.
Got the Tigers. Kaner went to the Red Wings. He's still there. Come on. Is it enough's enough?
So you think Detroit's a problem for people? I mean, poor Detroit. Haven't they been through a living hell? The Lions are the only team, but not the only team, but they're one of a couple teams that have never been to a Super Bowl.
I know.
They haven't even been.
But they're rolling now.
They're not even allowed in.
They just had a quarterback throw a perfect game, and he didn't get a game ball for it. 18 for 18, Jared Goff was.
They gave the game ball to Big Dog for some weird reason.
Why did they do that? They honored Big Dog. Or as somebody, when the Texans referred to him as Mercedes Hayward.
Shout out to Big Dog.
World-class speech giver.
Oh, is that world-class?
Well, I don't know. Something. We don't want to revisit that.
Good, I was making a joke.
Good
I
for
apologize.
Detroit, though. Good to the Tigers. Now, the other game
it's all Benetti.
Today.
That's what one
it's all Benetti.
Yeah.
So the Brewers and the Mets.
Yes. That's the only game today that will be... I believe it's 6 o'clock.
It's tonight.
6:08-ish.
But
it probably will start at 6:20.
Probably.
Whatever.
Jose Quintana's going for the Mets.
Yes.
I love it when he pitches. He does own the Brewers typically throughout his career. I like the way that he is a guy that Sox and Cub fans can relate to and remember. He was an all-star with the White Sox.
Yes, Sox fans like him. Cub fans resent him for some reason.
I don't know why. I don't get that.
It's Dustin's fault.
I don't know. He had a very good run as a Cub.
Dustin has bad-mouthed him so much.
It was a trade, though.
Most Cub fans don't like
it. It was a trade. That's why. I get it. Because it was an expensive trade.
You lost Dylan Cease.
Yes, I know.
And the guy that nearly single-handedly carried Baltimore this
year. Hi, Mom! You know, maybe that was the Orioles' problem.
It probably was.
They sent Aloy down to the farm.
They needed Craig Kimbrell.
Dustin, you really don't want to see Jose Quintana succeed tonight, win tonight, because of his Cubdom?
Well, the one thing that he was able to do was to beat the Brewers.
Yeah, I know.
So go ahead and beat the Brewers, I guess. I'm having a struggle with it. Usually I do not. As a Cub fan, I don't like either one of these franchises. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for tonight.
Well, I totally have changed my opinion.
We know.
From yesterday.
Oh, my God. You made that fairly apparent. You announced this morning about 5:32.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
I did back up a little bit. I'm entitled. Right? I'm entitled.
Well, you have a personal relationship with the skipper of that team.
Yes, I do.
You're Mr. Entitled.
I'm not entitled that way.
I'm entitled to change my mind.
I realized last night I felt a little bad about going against Pat Murphy, who I have known for many years.
Yes.
And yesterday I proclaimed that I wanted the Brewers to lose because of my Cub. I got carried away with kind of Cub fanaticism. I was mad at Jed Hoyer for a day. And I took it out on the Brewers.
It is the former sports writer's prerogative
to change. Yeah, you know that well. You've exercised that prerogative as often as I have.
You know what the biggest problem is? The Brewers have now just turned 20 during this baseball season. Player that is over delivering in the postseason.
Unbelievable, right? Last night. Jetson Churio with the big homer.
A prospect. Yes. That is now at the major league level and delivering. Yeah.
Well, actually, if you're comparing apples to apples, he has certainly not exceeded or matched Jackson Churio, but Pete Crow Armstrong is the Cubs' version of this. The all-star potential outfielder. He's 22.
Yeah, he's a little older.
He's not grizzled veteran, though.
Yeah, but still.
Churio is unique.
When George Wolkoff, what's his name? Wolkoff,
the big dude from
when he leads major leagues in homers next year when the Sox make their playoff run. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Did I lose you yet?
No, I'm with you. I think you're talking nonsense.
He's got to be around 19, right? When he and Noah Schultz make the All Star team next year.
Well, Noah Schultz is closer than Big George.
It's teenage rookies.
Big George Wolko is who you're talking about.
How old?
He's 6'7", 239.
I know. He's a giant of a man.
He's a giant of a man. He's 18 years old.
There are Paul
He's 18
Bunyan.
Years old, there, Molly.
Well, so next year he'll be 19.
19 on January 11th. Jeez.
Well, see, this is my point. We're talking about a 19-year-old. And I'm saying when he is doing his Paul Bunyan thing next year.
Okay.
How big is he?
Well,
6'7"?
One can hope because the White Sox need something like that, whether it's him or Colson Montgomery. Dustin, though, your point is well taken. Here's
Don't
what's
fall
happening.
In love with prospects, David.
You look at the playoffs. Jackson Churio hit the home run that changed things last night.
Yeah.
You look at Baltimore, and they had their share of young players. Now, I know they're gone. They went home, but they're in the playoffs largely because they have a lot of early 20s guys succeeding. Look at your Padres. Jackson Merrill doing a lot for that team. How old is he?
Yeah. How old was Juan Soto when he was starring in Washington?
20.
He was like 19
years old. 19, 20 years old?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, as much as we say it can't happen, it occasionally happens.
Bobby Witt Jr.,
yeah.
How old is he?
Yeah.
He's the reason the Royals are where they are.
Right. Don't pitch to him.
Well, learn the hard way. But the point being, you do need these young prospects to hit quickly. And it's happening more than ever, I think. It feels like it's happening more than ever in Major League Baseball.
They're swinging the bat faster?
No. It means that they're emerging quicker.
Oh, I thought you said hit quickly.
I did. But
I was confusing myself on purpose.
I'm saying go Brew Crew. Brought in a beer. Give me a brought in a beer. Watch the Brewers beat the Mets. I'll be happy tomorrow morning. And if not,
you better get the brats soaking in some beer before you start cooking them.
I just am.
Oil it up.
Then I don't know what happens the next round of the playoffs because Phillies are.
Should be filled with brats.
Phillies are not going to get beat by either of these teams, I don't think. And the Padres and Dodgers scares me because I did pick the Dodgers, and I think you picked the Padres, and I think you're going to be right.
Well, I've been wrong.
Dave Roberts gives you hope that if you're a Padres fan.
The teams I originally picked were both eliminated, and one of the teams I picked was eliminated. I'm having a bad playoff.
Yeah, but you still got the Padres.
My Astros out.
What?
I had them. Oh. But at the beginning of the year, I had Baltimore and I had Atlanta. How about that?
Well, I wouldn't have.
I'm just saying.
Not reminded people of that.
And then I repicked and I got one team left.
I had Phillies over the Yankees in April.
And you're still alive. I should have taken.
I think I had the Phillies over the Yankees.
I should have taken the teams that still.
That was Dustin too. You had the same thing, right?
Well, I had Phillies Yankees when we got here on Monday or Tuesday when we went through
Dustin,
that. But I think Ron,
Dustin
right? Ron
selected,
said
no. You selected your picks and then David copied you.
That's right.
No, the chalkity chalk chalk chalk. Right?
You think I'm chalkity chalk chalk?
Oh boy. That's his biggest shot. It doesn't matter if you win or not. If you go chalk, he can't.
I don't think I'm chalky. I don't think I'm that chalky. Well, certainly not in the NCAA tournament.
Who's the number one seed in the American League?
Okay, maybe so. But I picked him in April. I think I picked him in April. It's a long time ago.
Oh, you did, Ron. Remember, yeah, Ron from the South Side opened up the family vault.
Ron.
He had it written down what you guys had picked, and that was what was on his paper.
I would rely on my baseball thoughts, Ron and Bruce.
Yeah.
They remember. They don't forget anything.
And he had Oakland. And what was your other pick, Dustin?
Oakland. Who had Oakland?
Dustin. No, he had the Sox. I'm sorry.
Quintana, what's a good start for him tonight? Five innings?
Five innings would be a real good start for Quintana tonight. That's fair.
Watching that from a Mets perspective last night, I think that there were some questions of whether or not, with the lead in the eighth inning, if they should have gone to Diaz quicker. For the six out save.
Yes, they should have.
Just to close them out. Just to get it done.
They should have.
I don't know if that's second guessing or if there are many people first guessing that.
But here's the thing. If you've got a guy that you know can do a good job and you don't get to him at all in a game, that's a mistake.
You feel terrible about it.
That's exactly right.
And that's why the regret will be, and you wonder how long it will linger. And so the Brewers go in with momentum. And one thing, again, playing at home three nights in a row, that place was crazy. Hasn't been that crazy at the Brewers ballpark since the Cubs visited Wrigley North.
Wow. I can't believe you're mixing up your fandoms on this one.
I am. Well, my fandom for the Brewers is very specific. I like the manager.
Yes.
But the way that they have embarrassed the Cubs this year was not very pleasant to
watch. Would it be good for the Cubs? Would it be good for the Cubs manager if the Brewers lose?
Now, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't think that
I'm not saying he's cheering against them. I don't believe that. I'm just asking, would it be good for him?
Based on the way the Cubs season went, I think it's a no effect.
Okay.
But no effect as far as what happens tonight. I think because you feel so bad about what's already happened. But if the Brewers go on to, let's say, win the pennant, or that's gonna not reflect well.
Let's squeeze in Jimmy. Jimmy has a point to make. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Good morning, guys. Hey, guys. I want the Brewers to win. I sent you guys a message a while back. I would love a Brewers versus either Cleveland or Detroit or Kansas City World Series. The games would be fun, and it would make the White Sox and Cubs ownerships, with the fan base is very upset, have to improve the teams. This is awesome. Go Brewers, go Guardians, go Tigers, go Royals, baby. This would be awesome. And his heavy teams would all get knocked out. I'll listen to your reply, guys. Have a great day.
Can't argue with that. That would be cool.
Oh, I mean, I'm telling you, if indeed one of those teams from the AL Central wins the World Series, Jerry's going to change everything.
Everything. He'll change everything.
Change it all.
And you know, if the Brewers get what does it mean about the Brewers and having no effect on Craig Counsell's stature among Cub fans? If they get beat tonight, I don't think you feel better about the Cubs season. That's what I mean. If the Brewers get eliminated with Pat Murphy as a manager, I don't think it makes you feel better about Craig Counsell not getting to the playoffs.
What if they win the World Series?
Oh, my gosh.
Then what was holding them
back? You're going to think that the Cubs hired the wrong guy from Milwaukee.
That's exactly right. All right. We've got it's a Layla Thursday. Get out of here. Who says Christmas doesn't come twice? Layla's here. Marshall Harris is here. We're going to talk to them next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.